Good morning, everyone. Really good to see y'all today. Good to be before you again in this capacity. I thank my God for every wonderful blessing. Thank you for, Michelle, you have some great words. Some great words that blessed my heart this morning. Thank the whole worship team, everybody, that break up that hard soul, right? Stir it up so the word can go in and produce a good return. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Want to first of all give glory to God. He woke us up this morning, started us on our way. And I said, thank you, God, for another wonderful day that you have made. We determine in our hearts that we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we won't be able to share anything until the preacher come, right? So we're going to pray right now to him, okay? Father God, we come to you, Lord God, in worship, in submission. Lord God, looking to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord God, you are great God, sovereign, awesome over everything we see and do, Father God. We offer you, Lord God, the praise of our lips, the sacrifice, Lord God. You are welcome in this place. We pray, oh Lord God, that I would get out of the way and let you speak to your sheep. We are your sheep, Lord God, and the people of your pastor. Pray that you would bless us, Lord God, with truth, Lord God. And you said that we know that truth, it would make us free. Thank you for what you're about to do in advance, Lord God. We give you the glory and the honor. Pray that everyone here, Lord God, would hear what your words have to say, Lord God, in their own language. Pray that you would meet us at our need, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As I was studying this week and going through the scriptures, you know, I just about concluded what the title of this message was going to be. And I told Clarence, and Clarence had it all set, right? But God, right? But God, you know? Yeah, and I was going to title the message that death was swallowed up in victory, which is a good, you know, good title, good message. But he kind of worked with me, and I called Clarence. I said, Clarence, I think we're going to make a change on the title of the message. So we decided to make it today is, have you received your gift? Amen. Have you received your gift? We need to have our gift. Pray God that we will see this in the word today. Amen. We're going to be in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. And we will mainly concentrate on verse 45 through 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 through 58. There's a few other scriptures I will be going to shine light on different places where God's word is. And I pray that y'all will follow along with me and that it'll be a blessing. God's word is already blessed, right?
Yes.
He said it would not return void, but it will accomplish what he sent it out to do. Amen. Verse 45. And so it is written. That's a powerful statement there. The first man, Adam, became a living being. And the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Amen. The first man, Adam, became a living being when Almighty God blew the breath of life into that body of dust, of earth. And we identify with Adam through our flesh. Adam was separated. He didn't have the spirit to lead him around. After that, everything he did from his own desires and flesh. So we did identify with Adam in that manner. But the second, or the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit when he suffered, hung, bled, and died on that cross to pay every last bit of the debt we owe to a holy God for the wages of our sin. And then God raised him from the dead. He became a life-giving spirit. Amen? The second Adam, right? Let's look at Romans 6:23, if you will. Can I ask you to put that up for me? Romans 6:23 states that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Ask someone next to you, have you received your gift yet? Have you received your gift yet? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's look at 46. We're moving on down with the scriptures here. It said, however, the spirit is not first, but the natural. And afterward, the spiritual. Okay? Yes, it's true. We were born after Adam first in sin and separated from God. He calls that death, spiritual death. Man. He told Adam in the Garden of Eden, he said, don't eat from that tree in the middle of the garden. He said, the day you do, you will die. The day that you do, you will die. He disobeyed God. That's sin, right? When you disobey God, and he ate from that tree. Adam died spiritually that day, but he didn't realize it, right? Many of us today walking around dead and don't realize it. Amen?
Yes.
Amen? Because we still functioning in the flesh. Amen?
Yes.
Right? Let me tell you something. That death that he's talking about here is waiting on every one of us if we don't receive that free gift. Amen? Have you received your gift? What I'm hoping this will do for us today is cause us to see our condition without that gift. A great preacher that I admire named Adrian Rogers, I don't know if any of y'all heard of him. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But I still listen to a lot of his messages early in the morning when he'd be on the radio. He's a great, great man of God. He was talking to a young preacher one day, and he was talking to him. He said, son, so you really want to become a part of God's ministry to the saving of souls? And he said, yeah. He said, well, first you got to get them lost. What he was saying is you got to see them, got to get them to see their condition apart from the salvation of God. So we want us to see our condition so we can receive this free gift. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now he said, afterward, the spirit, we saw what we was in Adam. We saw what we have in Adam. It's the afterward, the spiritual. You know, I think that's why God highlighted the scriptures that show that Jesus had this encounter with Nicodemus. And many of you remember that. I know that story. You know, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night wanting to know what he must do to be saved. And Jesus told him, said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. What you have with the old man Adam won't be able to save you. We must be born again. Amen. Why? Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? Now 47, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's available. That is so good, right? It's accessible. Hallelujah. You see, the image of the man, of the heavenly man, if we receive that free gift, amen, can be a life-giving spirit to us. That's a picture of baptism, really. You know, if you lay down the old man, bury the old man when you go down in that water, and when you be raised up in Christ to the newness of life, that's the picture. That's the picture. Burying the old man, Adam, first Adam, living in the last Adam. Amen. Let's look at Romans 13:14. No, we don't have to go there. Romans 13:14 says that we should put on Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. Like you put on pants, you step into them. One thing about that, you see, everything you do today, you're going to do in them pants, right? Huh? When we put on Christ, everything we do, we're going to do in Christ. That's the picture we want to get there, okay? And if Christ raised from the dead and we in Christ, we're going to be raised from the dead, right? Put on Christ and make no provisions for the flesh, okay? You know, a change take place there. When you put on Christ, it's a change that take place there. How many know this gospel singer? And I love her too, Ann Wilson. You heard of Ann Wilson? Oh man, I love Ann Wilson to sing. All of her songs are great. But she has some lyrics in one of her songs. And relax, I'm not gonna try to sing it, okay? But she has some great lyrics in this song. She said, "He will do for you what he's done for me. Let my Jesus change your life. Let my Jesus change your life." It's the change will take place that Jesus is able to do. Amen? Amen. Amen. From that old man of dust, why? So we can bear the image of the heavenly man. That's the point. So we can bear the image. Who wants to bear the image of the heavenly man? Amen? It's accessible. It's available. Amen? Amen. Verse 50. Maybe we have it up there. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." Amen. What this is saying, family, if you leave here in your fleshly state after Adam, you can't inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Likewise, if you leave here corrupt, you're going to show up on the other side corrupt. Amen. Not hard to understand. Not hard to understand. You see, because God told Adam in the Garden of Eden that the day you disobey me, you can surely die. And after that, they had a sacred assembly. Okay. God called all the corporates together. He called Adam, Eve, and Satan together. He told Adam what was going to change about his life. He told Eve some things that were going to change about her life. And he told Satan, said, "Because you have done this and deceived the woman, said, I'm going to put enmity between your seed and her seed." Now, we know that Jesus came born of Mary, but no man had anything to do with it, right? So let's see the woman. That's who you're talking about here in the Garden of Eden. This salvation plan go way back. Back past the flood, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And after God had this assembly, He put man out of the garden, which is out of eternity, into time. Into time to work this plan of salvation. Amen? Same salvation plan still going on. Nothing changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can trust him because he don't change. Amen? Amen. Now 51 says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. Sleep is a term used throughout Scripture to describe those who have passed on with their salvation intact, with their gift, if you will. They've gone on. In Christ. Christ said they're not dead. They are asleep. Amen. That's what he's talking about there. Amen. This is very important, folks. Very important, you see. Because eternal life begins right here on earth. It's not the sweet by and by or over yonder. Eternal life begins right here on earth. Because eternal life is in God. Thank God. In a secure place. Amen? Yes. Amen. Right here on earth. That's right. Let's look at John 5:24, if you would, Clarence. Shine a little light on this. Jesus is speaking here. He said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believe in him who sent me has everlasting life. And shall not come into judgment, but have passed from death into life. Amen. If we believe in his words and God who sent him. So we see right now, eternal life is in God and in Jesus. Amen. That's how we receive eternal life. It's not out there somewhere wandering around. Not on the other side, it's right here. Right here. Shine a little more light on that same scripture. Let's look at John 17:3. John 17:3. Amen? 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 Y'all following?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let me hear amen every now and then. Okay? It's good. It's good for the encouragement. Amen. Jesus speaking again. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life, brothers and sisters. Huh? And it's available. You know, and God wants us to know this. He didn't hide this from us. He wants us to know this. It's in here. It's in his word. We can depend on his word. This is the Logos word, written word. When we speak these words out of our mouth, it becomes rhema. The rhema word. Amen. And then Jesus Christ, the word that became flesh, is the living word. We can trust all three. We can trust all three. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. So eternal life begins right here on earth. That's right. Hey, let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Got it up. This is God speaking here. I told you he wanted us to know, right? But I do not want you to be ignorant. A lot of people have a problem with that word, right? So let's say uninformed, okay? Uninformed, same thing. Brethren, that's that endearing term again. Brethren, he's speaking of those that have been saved, those that have their gift, right? Those that are walking around, he's speaking to us, okay? Yes, they have been saved and in the family. And in the family. Brethren is a endearing term to show family connection, okay? Concerning those, I don't want you to be uninformed, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope, right? He wants us to know about these things. So we don't have to sorrow like folk that don't know God, that don't know his plan, that don't know what's going on after death. It should be a time to celebrate their life, right? Celebrate their life. Oh, sure, we're going to miss our loved ones. We're going to miss them, and we're going to grieve the time that we miss them. But we don't feel helpless, right? Because we know that's coming for us too. We got an appointment. That's one appointment we're going to keep, right? He says, appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So you got to get it done on this side, right? So you won't come into judgment. Make sense? Amen. Amen. Isn't God good to want us to know this? I'm telling you. I'm telling you. He said, but we all not going to be asleep. But we all shall be changed. Okay? What he's talking about here is we're going to be Christians walking around, living with our salvation intact, with our gift when God returns, when Jesus returns. These that are walking around intact, with their salvation intact, they're going to be changed. They're going to be changed. This corruption going to put on incorruption. Those that are dead in Christ or sleeping in Christ going to be raised incorruptible. And we're going to be changed and meet them in the air. And it's going to be quick. Amen? It's going to be quick. Yes. 52, for in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. There we go. And we shall be changed. Okay. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. There we go again with that powerful phrase. It's written. Death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Death is swallowed up in victory. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, shine a little more light on that. Chapter 15, verse 25 and 26. I think it should be up. We're talking about Jesus here again. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And 26 said, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Hallelujah. Swallowed up, I say, in victory. Amen. Isn't that good? We don't have to be guessing at it. Thank God for it. Death has been swallowed up. Yes. 55. Say, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, a lot of translations say grave. I like the word term grave better. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Let's swallow it up. Verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Okay? Let's look at the fix for that. But before we do that, I want us to look at how John the Baptist introduced Jesus to the world. Okay? You know, John the Baptist was sent here for that purpose. He was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. Amen? And I'm going to pause here for a minute to ask something of you. I would love for you, as Paul would say, I beseech you. That's almost like begging you. To read the account of John the Baptist's birth. Amen? Because it was miraculous. Not like the after order of Jesus Christ, but but after the order of Abraham and Sarah. You see, Ananias and Elizabeth, just like Abraham and Sarah, was advanced in years, far beyond childbearing years, you know. Elizabeth and Sarah's eggs, I guess, was padded by that time. Amen. Excuse me. But it means it was almost impossible, right? It was impossible, right? So John, that's how John came in here. And as you read that, you'll find that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from Elizabeth's womb. Nobody else had recorded to do that. And matter of fact, Jesus said, no man born a woman is greater than John the Baptist. He said that. Amen. And it's a great story. I wish you would read that. You know, when Mary left where she was and went to the hill country to see her aunt Elizabeth. And when she got, I'm sure she left where she was left because of a whole lot of problems that she was encountering there, being a young virgin pregnant, right? We know how people are, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So she went to see her aunt, knowing she was a godly woman. They said when she got there, said when she met Elizabeth at the door with the salutation, Elizabeth said the baby leaped in her womb. I think he was filled with the Holy Spirit right then. He knew the presence of God was there. You should read the story. It's a good story, okay? Amen. Now, what John said of himself, this is what he said. He said, I'm as a voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That means it's accessible. He said, make his pathway straight. I mean, don't make it complicated. Don't make it hard. Move the curves and the hills out of the way so you can receive this gift. John was sent here to do that. Now, let's read how John introduced Jesus to the world. We find that in John 1:29. You see, John was baptizing in the Jordan, and John did that. That's what he here to do. John baptized with water. And he also said, the one coming after me will baptize with spirit and fire. Amen. So John was doing what John did. Okay, during this time. And it said, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He took away the sting right there, didn't he? That sting of death was sin. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. God wants us to know this. That's why he put it in his holy word. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what Jesus did to take away the sting, brothers and sisters. God wouldn't charge you or me again for the sins that have been paid for by Jesus. They've been paid for. He won't charge us. God, a holy God, a just God, a God of legal status, wouldn't charge us again for the sins that Jesus already paid for. Amen? Have you received your gift? Have you received your gift? The gift of God is eternal life. Amen? And then they say, the strength of sin is the law. And it was the law when God said to Adam, the wages of sin is death. It was the law. God said it. And it was a curse. Anybody ever heard of the curse of the law before? The curse of the law? This is it. Curse of the law. Right? Let's see what God did about that. Don't you want to know?
Yes.
Okay? Let's look at Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. Okay? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Amen. God took care of us, took care of everything. He took the sting out of death and he broke the curse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Took the sting out of death and broke the curse. What excuse do we have? What excuse do we have? Amen. 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 57, coming to an end, folks. Coming to an end. I hope this is good. It's good to me. It's good to me. Amen. Because I'm being blessed by the word of God. I pray that each one here is being blessed by the word of God. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So knowing all of this, knowing all these things we just talked about, 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. You know, I hope this message do two or three things. One thing I hope it do is get us to see our condition without that gift. And I hope it gets us to see that God wanted us to know about his salvation plan. And I wanted it to get us to say to ourselves, as God's speaking to us, because God is speaking, that we would realize that today is the day of salvation. We're in time. And a lot of people are concerned about when the end of time is going to come. When the end of time is going to come. The end of time will come for me tonight. It will come for any of us. Yes. Amen. Amen. The end of time might happen quicker than we think. Yeah. Don't be so concerned about the end of time for the whole world. We should be concerned about our souls. Yeah. Amen. We can't save ourselves. That's one thing we need to know. We can't save ourselves. I don't have a hell or a heaven to put anybody in. Amen. So God says, the day that you hear my word, harden not your heart, for the day is a day of salvation. Amen. We're going to have Gary come and lead in communion. But I want to say this before that, is that the day is the day of salvation. We're going to not hinder this whole service. But after communion is over, we're going to be down front. If anybody want to come, and I encourage you to come, if you want that gift. We don't know what time we're living in. We'll be available. I have some folks that belong with me that will pray with you. That will pray with you. God say, anybody coming unto him, he will no wise cast out. So it's available. Amen. Amen. It's an invitation. I hope you take me up on it, okay?